glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Wednesday evening's service was so outstanding. What a presence of God, and just enjoyed the preaching of four individuals. And God really spoke to us through them. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17, very familiar scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. The old things are gone. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So because we have been converted or restored to a freshness and newness of life, God has now given that ministry to each and every one of us. Some people are looking for some kind of ministry. Well, the ministry, the first ministry we have is to reach others in order to reconcile them to God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, or in place and power, be reconciled to God. So we have to be reconciled to God before we can ever cause anybody else to be reconciled to God as well. You know, I've seen so many people over the years, especially going into the prison, and we have a number of men and women going into prison that, well, they want to live for God, but they try to do it on their own. You cannot do this on your own. This nature is so strong that it will prohibit us from living according to God's dictates. But what we need is Christ in us in order to give us that strength. And every time we show up, there's more power given to us in order to live for God. And then if you'll turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. This is the first message in the new year. I feel God has spoken to me about some things. Philippians 3 and 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul is saying, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So Paul is saying, you know what? I know one thing for sure, that I got to get the past in the past. There are too many people who can't serve God in the present or even in the future because they're dragging the past with them. And we are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then one more scripture, Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God can make every one of us new again. Amen. There's nothing in this world that doesn't get old. There isn't anything that's new forever. But God can make us new. He can make us fresh. Amen. Have to let go of the past. It's too many things that people carry around. You know why I serve God if? I could be a great pastor if it wouldn't be for you people. I could if, but I'm carrying some baggage, and as a result, I can't be what God wants me to be, an ambassador. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing upon the word of God this morning. God, that would touch each and every one of us. God, there's a purpose this morning. There's a purpose. There's something that we need to hear from heaven, God. Not opinions. Amen. Not oratory. Amen. But allow it to be fresh. Let it be from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't want to go through the mind of everybody at this time of the year. Really, most everybody in this time of the year, they make some kind of a New Year's resolution. Thank God we have got a support group for our resolutions, and that's called the church. Everybody else has their support group. Come on, you got to go to the meeting. If you don't go to the meeting, your sponsor is going to call you. No, this is our support group, and we're saying, you know what? I'm a sinner, but I'm going to live for God. I was something, but now I'm new, I'm fresh, and I can because I have a power that is within me. Some of the resolutions concerning ourself, that we look better, feel better, save money, you know. I heard one guy said, I'm canceling my gym membership in order to save some money this year. I think that's good. There are a lot of people who start out and they last for maybe 30 days of whatever they're intending to do, but their nature comes and pulls them down. But we get a change of nature when we get God. So that flesh, that nature of ours that is within us, inherent within us, can be overcome because the worst enemy we have in this place is wearing your clothes. That's right. But we have a life coach to help us with our spiritual resolution, and he lives inside of us, and he prompts us. In the middle of the night, all day long, there's somebody saying, no, 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 this is what you should do. Glory to God. Some may put a lock on the refrigerator, but it'd be better that we got a God that helps us with our problems. I'm more determined than ever to pray more this year. To minister more, to teach more Bible studies. Tomorrow I'm starting a fast because I want to see some people healed this year. There are some who have been going on and on with some difficulties in their lives, and I'm only privileged to, and a lot of people wouldn't. But as a result, I want to break the bonds of whatever they're dealing with, and sometimes it takes more than just a little prayer. It takes some sacrifice. We have many examples in the scriptures of those who have had great revivals because they were determined to be more like Christ. Not just talk about it, but actually be like Christ. Everyone has to choose what they will be and what they're going to stand for. We all make those decisions. It's not because of somebody else in our life. It's because of decisions that we make and that my future is going to be controlled by what I do today. Joshua said it this way in Joshua 24 and 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day. You want a better tomorrow? Make the right choices today. Amen. And that's what happens at this time of the year. We start to say, here, well, there's a new beginning, and it's starting at a new year, and this is what I'm determined to do. Well, today is the day. Today is the day to make some right choices. Where is your future? Our future begins today, and we decide what it will look like. Last Sunday morning, God spoke to us in prophecy. It was probably one of the most awesome prophecies that I've ever heard in 38 years in the church. And God said he was going to bless this church and he was going to add to this church. We were going to see revival like we had never seen before. And God is truly going to do this. For the last 3.5 years, we've had Saturday morning prayer here. And there's always a good group of people. Most times, at least 100 people that are here on Saturday mornings. And I have never felt a greater presence or anointing in any other service than I have on Saturday mornings because There are people who have made a commitment, I don't have to do this, but I'm going to do this. And as a result, God meets with us here. There's no organization to it. It's just worship and it's just praying. And yesterday, at the end of it, I stood in this pulpit and just wept for a long time. I could hardly speak because there was such a great anointing in this place. People see things happening in here. And at the end of it, a lady came up to me and said, God gave me a vision. Now the Bible says that in the end times, we'll see visions and dream dreams. It's all part of what the Word of God says. And she was crying, and I was crying. And she said, in the vision, I saw this pillar of fire over the church. And as people were lifting their hands, there was fire coming from their hands. And as they were singing and worshiping, there was fire coming from their mouth. And all of that fire intermingled with the fire that was over the church. Now, God's very pleased with some things that we do. And he shows us how pleased he is with the things that we do. And so we have to make a resolve. We're going to get closer to God this year. Would you like to see some changes in your life this year? Then we have to make some decisions. Would you turn to John, the second chapter? John chapter 2, and starting in verse number 6, it's a very familiar scripture. We're talking about a wedding here. Starting in verse number 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. He's talking to his mother who wants him to provide wine for a wedding. The groom has run out of wine. Verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, when he talks about the manner of purifying, it's talking about foot washing water that was set at the door so when guests came, they could wash their feet so they could walk into the wedding. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear. You know, it had to take some faith on the part of the servants. Are you kidding me? I'm going to the governor and I'm going to give him some foot washing water and let him taste it. And maybe my life will be on the line because of what I'm doing. You know, every miracle is going to take a little bit of risk on our part. God prompts us to pray for somebody in the middle of the store or at work. It takes some faith. Are you sure, God, that you're going to... Are we worried about being embarrassed? Or are we worried about God having his holy way? When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it came, whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. You know, with God, the best is always yet to come. If you've been living for God for 40 years, 50 years, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you're thinking, well, the best was in the past, then you don't have the future to look forward to. There's something greater that God wants to do in each and every one of our lives if we're willing to step out in faith. A couple of years ago, I read something, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned it before, but a Yale graduate student had developed a website called www.futureme.org. Anyone can go to the website and write a letter to their future self. And so we could write a letter and put it into this website to be email to us 10 years from now. I would advise you, because I'm not sure if we're going to be around 10 years from now, but you can do that, and you can get a letter from yourself from the past. Have it emailed to you up to 30 years in the future. Some have been made public, and you can read what people have sent themselves in the future. One said, "Hey, girl, this is the past checking up on you. First thing I need to know is, are you still seeing Chris? Please say no. Please say no. Are you really happy? Did you really lose the weight that you wanted to?" Well, that's enough harassment from the ghost of the past. P.S. Maybe you will learn to love me a little bit by this time. She says, "I hope somebody else reads it as well." One guy said to himself 16 years later, "Dude," hopefully he's grown a little bit more in 16 years, "dude, how's my life going? Am I a big-time lawyer yet? It's weird because I am asking you all the questions, but in the end, I decide what the answers are." We decide. You know, for a failure, it's because we didn't make the right choices. Hundreds of thousands of letters have been mailed through this website for the future you. Most hope that their future self is better than their present self. Do you hope that your future self is better than your present self? You know, the only way it can really be better is to get God. You know, you can't get good to get God. You've got to get God to get good. You know, when I was in basic training, I ran into a number of men who were from the hills of Tennessee. I don't know why they were in my company, but I was just shocked because they never saw a shower before. They never saw a telephone before. They never saw some of just the basic things in life, because they're living in the past. They never came into the future. Glory to God. Church, one day the trumpet will sound and there will be a new improved you. Amen. Amen. The best is yet to come. But what about today? This is somewhat taking off of what Brother Portman said last Sunday. You know, we can believe in the past and we can believe in the future, but can we really believe for today? You know? With Jesus, the hope is a better future and it's secure. Our scripture in John 2 describes the first miracle. It was a shadow and a type of our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much detail found in this scripture. It was his first miracle, so it must be one of the most important. We know that God created the stars, but the word only says he made the stars also. But this simple miracle had rich detail concerning six stone water pots, each pot holding 20 to 30 gallons of water. That's a lot of wine made from foot washing water. It was a lot of wine that was made good. Now consider this. Six is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. The pots were stone and man was made from the earth. The content was water. 60 to 70% of the human body is water. And the weight of 20 to 30 gallons of water is from 165 to 250 pounds, which is the average weight of the American man. Just as important as turning the water into wine is that Jesus could transform ordinary vessels into those fit for the master's use. God can take each and every one of us, regardless of what we think of ourselves, regardless of what other people think of us, and turn us into something that can be greatly used by God. There are too many people that don't think, "I'm worthy to be able, I don't have the knowledge, I don't look the way I should." But you know what? God wants to use every vessel in order to contain the best of the best. There are many scriptures that compare people to vessels in the scripture. It's very common knowledge. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." 2 Timothy 2 and 20 tells us we can be vessels of dishonor or vessels of honor. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 4 says, we are commanded to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. If God is going to be in us, then we need to be sanctified vessels. David said in Psalms 31 and 12, I am like a broken vessel. And sometimes we feel like a broken vessel, but there's a hands-on God that fixes every crack, every problem within our life. Jeremiah took a trip to the potter's house and watched him recreate a marred vessel, and it's never too late to be recreated in God's house with God's hands on us. The problem is when God is involved in recreating, there may be a little pressure on us. And we're saying, God, please take your hands off me. Come on, God, please take your hands off me. Because I don't want to be reformed, especially later in life. But God wants us to be a vessel of honor. I heard something years ago. It says that the potter would put the piece that he's working on in the oven, and from time to time he would check it because he wanted to set it just the way it's supposed to be formed. And he would bring it out, and he would hit it with his finger, and if it would sing, well, then he knew it was right. If it would thud, got to go back into the fire one more time. You know what? I want to sing. So I don't want to go back into the fire again. Glory to God. Maybe someone here feels like they're a marred vessel or not being able to be used because of bad or failures in their past. But God's saying the best is yet to come, and I make all things new. I can't do this on my own. I just can't. And too many people fail because they try to go in their own strength instead of the strength of God. This year, I wonder if this year we could go in the strength of the Holy Ghost. Okay, God, you recognize I'm broke, I'm marred. You recognize I've had some failures. You recognize that I'm just worthy for foot washing water. But you know, God, I want you to do something special in my life. You know, who would think that any one of us would be sitting here this morning based on where we were some years ago? God is asking you the same question Jeremiah heard that day. Can I not do with you as the potter does with this vessel? Now, God is saying to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, the man who has dedicated his life in order to bringing forth the word of God. He said, your word is like a fire shut up in my bones. Now, God's saying, Jeremiah, are you listening? Can I do with you what this potter is doing to this vessel? Are you willing to go on to the potter's wheel and allow me to shape you and mold you and be the vessel that I have chosen, not what you have chosen? We were born one way, and God wants to remake us into a new vessel. I've done dozens of weddings over the years. The brides always want everything to be absolutely perfect. The bridegroom is somewhat interested in the wedding, but not like the bride is committed to the wedding, because she wants every detail to be perfect. You know what? The wedding that we're going to, every detail is going to be perfect, you know, because heaven is perfect and angels are perfect. Some have stumbled over their vows and some have shown up late. I heard one bride that was so nervous, the pastor chose a verse to comfort her out of 1 John 4 and 18. And the best man was to read that scripture. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. And this was to comfort especially the bride. And of course, we got scripture that comforts the bride all of the time. Well, the best man got a little mixed up, and he read from John 4 and 18 instead of 1 John 4 and 18, which said, you have five husbands, and the one that you are now with is not your husband. we could just go to the wrong verse from time. Everyone had high expectations for this wedding at Galilee. but they ran out of wine. What a paradox of life in general. People's lives so full, and yet they're so empty. Racing from this to that, finishing one meeting and running into another meeting. Got this project done at home, and got three more projects. You know, where's the priorities? Where are the things that are really... Martha, Martha. Mary has chosen the better thing, sitting at the feet of Jesus. This year, hey, listen, time out for all of the junk projects and the things that are so important to us. You know, if tomorrow God takes us, is it really going to matter? But time out. This is the year I'm going to give more time to God than ever before, and then He is going to take care of me. Glory to God. Full of busy work that doesn't satisfy. The fuel gauge is at full, but we're running on empty. Oh, I got to get back to Sunday night. Oh, I got to get back to Saturday morning. Oh, I've got to do this. You know what? I really want to teach a Bible study. There's somebody that God's laid on my heart at work, and I know if I just made a little effort in order to befriend them. When I was a young man, I saw my future as very successful, and I was driven to try to make something of myself. I saw my dad struggle all his life, never really accomplished a whole lot. And then God stepped in and stopped the process. Had I written a letter to myself 38 years ago, it would not have asked if, am I going to be a pastor someday? God rearranged that whole thing, you see. I mean, it was the last thing that I ever wanted to be associated with a church or God. Oh, yeah, I knew God in my childhood, but I didn't really put Him at the top of the list. In fact, He wasn't on the list at all. And I'm so glad that God stepped in and changed the process. Would it have said, well, how's retirement? Made it big, huh? You know, where are you living? Someplace warm? But thank God, I ran out of wine. And He decided there was going to be something new inside of me. He's going to change my priorities. And the Master stepped in and filled the earthen vessel with His Spirit and then with His agenda. Because when you get God's Spirit, then your agenda changes. So if you got an email that you sent yourself 10 years ago, what would it say? Think about it. Where were you 10 years ago? And where are you today? Would you be the person you imagined you would 10 years ago? If you haven't arrived at where you want to be, don't despair. Jesus is here. Amen. Because He makes old things new. He changes everyone. Philippians 1 and 6, what an awesome scripture. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If He started something, if He filled you with His Spirit, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you are the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has started a work in us, and He is able to complete the work that He started. It's got very little to do with us, but if we just turn ourselves over, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Instead of struggling and struggling and struggling with all of these things that I want to be and want to accomplish, even if it's spiritual things, there has to be a time where you say, I give up, God. It's all about You. Glory to God. All that was needed to have a great wedding was the empty vessel to be refilled with new wine. All that is needed to have a great great life is to have an empty vessel full of new wine or the Spirit of God. And that's what changes each and every one of us. That's what it says in Ezekiel 36. I'll put a new heart in you and a new spirit, and I'll cause you to walk in My statutes. Forget what you don't have and think about what is coming. There are too many people who are woulda, coulda, shouldas. If only this would have happened in my life, well, wow, things would have been so much better. If we can get beyond the past, God can give us a great future. We need to fill the vessels we are, with his word and with his promise and with his spirit. When Jesus was coming down the road, blind Bartimaeus saw his future changing. When people walk into a church on a Sunday morning like this, hopefully they can see their future changing. Something's going to happen here. There's an anticipation, a desire for God to change us. The Samaritan woman started moving towards the well because she saw her future being changed. Everyone in the Bible that moved towards Jesus thought, hey, if I could just get a hold of him, my future is going to change. Something is going to... Mary said, just do what he says because my future is going to change. Suddenly, they're going to see that my son is the Savior. Four men started tearing off the roof because they wanted the future of their brother changed. And they knew if we could just do this. But someone has to get to the place where they believe in the future more than they believe in the past. And if you can get to the place where you tear off the roof because you want to see somebody saved, your relatives, there's now a new you, a better you. And everybody around us sees the change. Because no man can make new wine out of old foot washing water. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. John 2:9 says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water. That's us folks. We know. We know what can happen. We know that if we can just get them to the altar, we know that if their vessels are filled with a new wine, we know there's a better future for them. We know that there's going to be some major changes in their life. It's not going to be 15 years of counseling. It's not being in some kind of support group, that a 12-step program. There's just one step program. Get them to the altar. If we can get the vessels filled with the new wine, then all of a sudden, there's a future that they didn't have before. I'm not talking just about a good life. I'm talking about eternity. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. That's Jesus. When they see the miracles in our life, they will call on the bridegroom. You see, when someone's filled with the Holy Ghost, they have this direct access. In fact, they start talking to the bridegroom all the time. And when they saw the miracles in our life, they'll do that. And saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Church, the best is yet to come. I want to give you a vision of what 2015 is going to be. You know, 2013 we sacrificed for this building. We've worked hard. And 2014, you know, we've had some revivals. We've had some special speakers. We've done a lot of things. But 2015, folks, we're going to see something happen. There's going to be an energy in here. There's going to be a revival. There's going to be anointing. Not because I said it, because God said it last Sunday morning. You're going to be overwhelmed. If God could cause animals 2x2 and 7x7 to walk into the ark, how much more could he cause it to be in the hearts? How is it that somebody calls me at 7 o'clock in the morning and says, I have to be baptized in Jesus' name? How is it that there's a text that shows up on Brother Miller's phone that nobody knows how it got there, but the man and his wife show up last Sunday night at church? How are these things happening? How is it that a woman driving by our church years ago on a Wednesday night saw our church and screamed out, that's the church that was in my dream, stopped the car, came in, sat in the service, walked up to the altar, was filled with the Holy Ghost? How is it? Because God adds to the church daily such a shift. But God is looking for some vessels. Hallelujah. Church, the best is yet to come. And I like what I see in the future, and so does God. There is no waste of time if you start fresh. Amen. With Jesus. And some may feel, well, I've just wasted too much time. I just, you know, will God really? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Don't feel like I got to just find my little niche in the church. If I can have my little ministry and then I can just come. I know you're not going to like what I'm saying here. You know, part of my job is to make a safe place for everybody to come into this church. I love everybody beyond what you can possibly imagine. But you know what? I want everybody safe. I want everybody on the way to heaven. And we can't get to the place where we get comfortable in our little ministries when God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That wine was a type of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the key to the transformation of our lives. The vessels without the content are just vessels, empty. But when we receive the Spirit of God, and when we have the blood of God applied to our life, my God doesn't see empty vessels with no future. God sees our potential and has already written a letter of revelation to tell us exactly what is going to happen in the future, proclaiming what we shall be in the future. Don't wait 10 years to see what it's going to be. We may not have 10 years. Read the end of the letter and see what we shall be. I don't know if it's right to toast the Holy Ghost, you know, but here's to our future. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, life everlasting. Hear, Jesus. You're somebody who has put new wine in old vessels. And God, we're looking forward to the future. We're looking forward to 2015, a better year than we've ever had before. I said it the other day. I don't know if it was at morning prayer or it was in a service, but you know, the Bible says that a death is better than a birth. And so God knows something that we don't know. He sees what we don't see. And we pray because we want to hold on to this life as much as we possibly can. But God's saying, you know what? This is just a dressing room. It's a stage for where we suit up for eternity. But here's what he's done. He's given us power through the Holy Ghost in order to heal people miraculously, because by that healing, more people are attracted to the church. It's like the burning bush, you see. And when Moses was attracted to the burning bush, then he heard the voice of God. And when people are attracted by the miracles of God that happen within the church, then all of a sudden their ears are open to the Word of God. I've said this so many times. I was almost dragged to a Pentecostal church But when I felt the presence of God, now I wanted to know more about the God that I could feel. And somehow, this is a co-mission. It's not just us. It's us working with God. And God wants to allow us to see the miracles and the wonders in order to cause people to want to know more about him. 2015. Are you ready?
Amen.
It's coming. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. One of the most important aspects of parenting is blessing your children with a future. I know God's going to use you. I know you're smart. I know you're going to advance. It was in the Bible. A blessing. The patriarchs would lay hands on their children and bless them before they died. And you know what happens? And every time you come to a church service, there's a blessing. There's a blessing that is spoken over us in order to see a better future. There are all kinds of people out there who'll tell you, you'll never advance, you'll never do this, you'll never do that. But God has a future for each and every one of us. And he not only tells us about it, but he writes us about it. Amen. So we're going to open the altar. Would you come? Maybe you want to make a commitment, a New Year's resolution to the one who really makes the difference.